Leviticus 25 in verse number 10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." I'd like to say good morning. This is Pastor Wynn Greer from the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. We're located just a few minutes outside of Boone off of Highway 105 on Baird's Creek Road, 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road. I'd love to take the opportunity to invite you to come and visit with us. If you are visiting in the area, if you're new to the area, if you do not have a church home, we'd love for you to come and be with us. We have Wednesday night service at 7. That's prayer meeting, Bible study, and then every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. We have Sunday school classes for all ages, and then our 11 a.m. worship service, second and fourth Sunday nights at 6 p.m. We have our Sunday evening worship service, so we'd love for you to come and be with us there. And thank you for listening in today. We're going to continue on out of Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 10. The bricks are falling down, but we will build with hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into cedars. But I want to say good morning, first of all, to Noah. He's going to welcome our listeners.
Good morning. It's good to be here. And we do want to welcome our listeners, those listening in right here on AM 1450 in Boone, North Carolina. And also those who listen in on AM 690 in Bristol, Virginia.
We do appreciate our listeners. And we want to welcome our newest radio station today, KPGT 89.1 FM in Watertown, South Dakota. This is a ministry. This is a radio station, actually, that is owned by the Harvest Baptist Church, Pastor Lamar Whittemore. And we appreciate Brother Lamar and the work that they're doing out there. They are some of our missionaries, and so they are going to be broadcasting the blessings of liberty on KPGT 89.1 FM, The Truth. And we appreciate our new listeners there, and so we'll be talking about them as well. So we appreciate the opportunity. We're thankful for the open door, and we want to welcome you especially to the blessings of liberty. God laid this this broadcast. It's unique. It's not a preaching radio broadcast per se, like some. We do have another radio broadcast, the Old Paths broadcast on WZAP, and that's mainly we have Bible preaching and teaching on there. But this has a specific emphasis upon liberty and upon the Bible and upon the United States of America. The title Blessings of Liberty comes from the preamble to the Constitution, where it says over there, the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. And so we get that, and then we take the Bible verse, Leviticus 25:10, which is also on the Liberty Bell, and we try to tie all these things together and give a present day application. What does all this mean to us? But for this summer, we've been looking in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 10. And Isaiah chapter 9 verse number 10, some of you may be familiar with. There's a book, I guess, that has sort of made this verse come into the mainstream, sort of brought out some of the teaching that I have went over, and also we have went beyond that, I believe it'd be fair to say. But there's a book called The Harbinger, and it talks about Isaiah chapter 9 verse number 10. But so far, we've seen many things. We've seen in chapters 1 through 8 in the book of Isaiah that there are verbal warnings from the Lord. God specifically says to the nation of Israel, if they do not turn back, this and this and this is going to happen. There's going to be a breach. There's going to be an invasion. There's going to be an enemy. They acted like they were unconquerable, like that they were attacked. But God allowed the nation of Israel to be attacked, and there was verbal warnings, but it went unheeded. And then there is in chapter number 9 of the book of Isaiah, there's physical judgment that comes to the nation. And this judgment is an attack by the Assyrian king. And it said in verse number chapter 9 and verse 10, the bricks are falling down, but we will build with hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into cedars. And we've seen that a physical judgment did not change their heart. In fact, their heart got harder towards the Lord. And the Bible said in verse number 13, for the people turneth not unto him that smiteth them, neither do they seek the Lord of hosts. Verse number 16, the Bible said, for the leaders of this people cause them to err, and they that are led of them are destroyed. Now, the leaders set the national tone. It is important who the leaders are in a nation. It does make a difference because, well, they are leaders in the nation. And the Bible said there, the leaders of this people cause them to err. And every successive catastrophe in the nation of Israel, in the days of Isaiah, and also in America since 9/11 has been met with the same attitude. We will build. We will change. We will do this. We will do that. And I've given multiple examples from 9/11, 2001, after the terrorist attacks on New York City, where the leaders used Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 10. And they used the phraseology, we will build, or we will rebuild, or we will come back stronger. I've mentioned this several times. Senate Majority Leader Tom Daschle, September 12, 2001, a joint resolution concerning the attacks. He said, I know that there's only the smallest measure of inspiration that can be taken from this devastation, but there's a passage in the Bible from Isaiah that I think speaks to us at times like this. And he used Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 10. He said, that is what we will do. John Edwards came along 3 years later, gave a speech on September the 11th to the Black Congressional Prayer Caucus. And he said on that morning, he used Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 10, and he said, let me show you that we are building. Barack Obama, January 2009, State of the Union address. This is only 4 months after the greatest single day stock market crash in Wall Street history, which I talked about that last week. I talked about the financial loss that came about as a result of 9/11, and then exactly 7 years later, the stock market crash of 2008, which we are still feeling the repercussions from even today. But Barack Obama, January 2009, State of the Union address, he said, tonight I want every American to know this, we will rebuild, and the United States of America will come back stronger than before. I mentioned this, Joe Buck, during the All-Star game just a few weeks ago, they gave a tribute to the 2011 tornado victims of the Midwest and Gulf Coast. And he said during that tribute at the beginning or before the game began, he said, together we will rebuild and reaffirm for the world the indomitable spirit that defines the United States of America. Now, this happened just a few weeks ago, July 20th. 24-year-old James Holmes shoots and kills 12 people in Theater 9 of the Century 16 Cinema in Aurora, Colorado. Now, our tragedies in America since September the 11th, 2001, there is always this tying back into 9/11 and New York City. The chief of police for Aurora, Colorado is a man named Dan Oates. He retired. He is a retired police officer and lawyer. Guess where he come from? New York City. And so there's this tying back in. There's always a connection to 9/11. This ought to get our attention. It ought to get us to think about, why is there always a connection to 9/11? The governor of Colorado came out after that, the day off. He said, and the governor's name's John Hickenlooper, and he was talking about the tragic shooting in Colorado, and he said this about it. He said, "We will come back stronger than ever. Obviously, it's going to be a very hard process." I noticed when Penn State recently, they've been sanctioned by the NCAA. They had a great controversy. There's been all this hoopla, all this talk, this tragic circumstances of the Sandusky Paterno scandal. Penn State for years has openly welcomed and promoted radical homosexuality. For example, in 2002, they had a speaker come to the campus. His name was Patrick Califia. I guess that's the way you say that. Anyway, he's a champion speaker for the NAMBLA group. The NAMBLA means North American Man-Boy Love Association. There are individuals in America, Canada, England, who believe that it ought to be lawful for adults to have sexual relations with children. The North American Man-Boy Love Association. This speaker that was welcomed with open arms on the campus of Penn State University, he said this. He said, "Instead of condemning pedophiles, we should be supporting them." And so Penn State, they turned a blind eye to a homosexual child molester. That's Mr. Sandusky we're talking about. And if you ask me, all this shame, all this loss is a result of the judgment of God upon the wickedness that was allowed to go on there. And they promoted and they turned a blind eye to what Mr. Sandusky was doing. And so God judges sin, and they've lost millions and millions of dollars. And I seen where they took the statue to the Coach Paterno down. And there's even some biblical reference there if you read Psalms chapter number 10. But anyway, the response from the leadership concerning this scandal, concerning these problems that they've had, you know what they said? I found several examples of this. The alumni, the student body, the leadership, they said, "We will work together to rebuild. Together we will light the way forward. Together we will rebuild. We will rebuild trust," and on and on and on. And there's a reason why I'm pointing this out and showing you these examples over and over and over again. It's to point out that this mindset, this attitude, has become a part of our national attitude. It's become a part of our national mindset. That's our attitude towards everything, every tragedy, every scandal, every catastrophe that comes along, no matter what it is. We come along and say, "We will build back. We will come back stronger." Now, it is not wrong after tragedy and catastrophe to want to rebuild. You know, if my house was burnt down, we would want to rebuild. But the problem is that in our nation, there is no longer any type of remorse, any type of slowing down and saying, "You know what? This might be the hand of God. Maybe we need to repent. Maybe we need to look at why this happened. And maybe we need to get right with God." You know, once upon a time in America, many, many examples I've given before, the leadership has said, "You know, we need to have a day of fasting. We need to have a day of repentance. We need to have a day of prayer." But this is not happening in America anymore. Few and far between. Do you hear have any leaders that say, "You know what? We need to pray. You know what? Maybe this is a result of our wicked ways. Maybe this is a result of sin and our turning away from God." And so I'm not saying we shouldn't rebuild after catastrophe, but what I'm pointing out is that there's the absence of a remorseful, repentant, heart-changing attitude. It's just this attitude, "Well, this has happened and it's bad, but we'll build back. We'll come back stronger." Now, I don't claim to be a prophet by any means, but I do believe if we look in the Word of God, we can see what the future holds for America, for our families, for our churches, for individuals. And I'm interested in that. I would like to know how to pray, how to plan, what to expect. And I believe the key lies, I believe we do have the answer to that question right here in Isaiah chapter 9. And I want to point that out to you today. I believe the key to the future of America lies in our attitude. Now, they said in verse number 10, the bricks are falling down. Now, you realize, if you've just tuned in, what we're talking about, the judgment of God came upon the nation of Israel. There was a invasion. There was a breach in the wall. There was an attack by the enemy. The bricks are falling down. Now, here was the attitude of the leaders. But we will build with hewn stones. Not only will we build back, but we will build back better than it was before. It said the sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into cedars. You see this self-righteous attitude. You see this, we will pick ourselves up by our own bootstraps. They did not heed the warning judgment of God, and they said, we will. Now, here's what happens in verse number 11. It says, therefore. Now, this is the key. This was their attitude, and God said, all right, if that's the way it's going to be, therefore the Lord shall set up the adversaries of Rezin against him and join his enemies together. God said, therefore, because this was the attitude of the nation, not one of repentance, but one of we will come back stronger, we will. Me, myself, and I, this is what we're going to do. God said, therefore, I'm going to raise up your adversaries, I'm going to join your enemies together. And he says in verse number 13, for the people turneth not unto him that smiteth them. What he's saying there in verse number 13 is the people will not turn back to God. For the people turneth not unto him that smiteth them, neither do they seek the Lord of hosts. So as long as our attitude remains the same, then our direction remains the same. And the direction that we're heading in is the direction of the judgment of God. And here's the scary thing about the judgment of God. There is a point of no return. When God begins to judge a nation, there is a point where it becomes too late for the nation. It's sort of like going over a waterfall. You know, there's hope until you go over the edge. And once you go over the edge, there is no turning back. All that is left is to see who survives and to see if there's any pieces to pick up after the fall. So as we've been studying this, I've been trying to discern, where are we at along the course of nations? Do you know all nations rise and fall? And America does not have an exemption, as far as I know about. I don't believe we have a special exemption, in spite of our Christian history, our Christian nation, our Christian leaders in the past. I don't believe God gave us a pass slip on this, where if we turn away from the God of the Bible, that the Lord will say, well, that's okay. No, the Bible says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And so God has not given us a special exemption concerning his judgment upon our nation. There is a point where it becomes too late for the nation. The Bible says in the book of Hosea, chapter 4, and verse number 1, hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. Verse 6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. It's very interesting, and I read the book of Proverbs every single day, and I'll read a chapter a day. And I've encouraged people, even here on the Blessings of Liberty, get in a habit, whatever day of the month it is, read that chapter in the book of Proverbs. There's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. But do you know Proverbs chapter number 1 has a very stern warning concerning wisdom? Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 26 of the Bible says, now he's been warning, he's been calling, wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. Wisdom is crying out unto us. But if we will not listen to the voice of wisdom, If we will not listen to the voice of God, there are some verses here. Verse number 26, God says, if you will not listen, he said in verse 26, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. I believe that's very applicable to the nation of America. For the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. And so there is a point of no return. I'm going to read a few verses over in the book of Ezekiel. There's Isaiah, Jeremiah, the book of Lamentations, and then the book of Ezekiel. Isaiah prophesied at the beginning, many, many years before the Babylonian captivity, and Ezekiel prophesied at the end. So we sort of have the beginning and the end there. And over in Ezekiel chapter number 14, in fact, the beginning chapters of Ezekiel are very interesting. But in Ezekiel chapter number 14, he talks about the nation of Israel and that they will not be spared from the judgment of God. There's a point. We're thinking about America. We're thinking about nations. I've talked about how that God deals with nations on an individual basis. He deals with them on the basis of their righteousness, and he deals with them on the basis of how they deal or how they treat the nation of Israel. But in Ezekiel chapter number 14, there are some interesting scriptures here. For example, he says in Ezekiel 14, verse 13, Son of man, when the land sinneth against me by trespassing grievously, then will I stretch out mine hand upon it, and will break the staff of bread thereof, and will send famine upon it, and will cut off man and beast from it. Verse 14 says, Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver, but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. And he goes on down, he gives four examples, and he says, Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. God is saying there, if these three great men, these three great intercessors, if they were in the nation that had already been turned over to the judgment of God, though they interceded, though they prayed for the nation, they would not be able to stop the judgment of God. Once it begins, as long as the attitude of the nation is, we will build, forget about God, we shake our fist in his face, as long as the attitude of the nation continues to be that, there is no hope for that nation once the judgment of God begins. Now, there's something very interesting down in verse number 21. And I won't have time to get into this today, but I'm just going to point it out. I'd like for you to read it. I'd like for you to study it out. Look what God says he does to the nation that he's going to judge. He says in Ezekiel 14 in verse 21, For thus saith the Lord God, How much more when I send my four sore judgments upon Jerusalem? And so God gives a number here, and God gives four things that he sends to a nation that he's bound to destroy. God says, My four sore judgments upon Jerusalem, the sword and the famine and the noisome beast. And then let me turn the page here. The noisome beast and the pestilence to cut off from it man and beast. There are four things that God uses to destroy nations. God uses the sword, that's warfare. The famine is brought about by drought. Do you know what's going on in America right now? There's the worst drought in 50 years. Do you know 50 years ago, people were more self-sufficient than they are right now? 50 years ago, people knew what it was to grow a garden, have a chicken, grow a hog, kill a hog, put up stuff, prepare for hard times. 50 years ago is a lot different than it is in America now. Now, people don't go to the pantry. They don't go to the basement. They don't go to the shelf. They go to the store. What are you going to do when the store is empty? There's a drought going on. Drought causes famine. Drought causes the crops to be destroyed. Drought causes the animals not to be fed. Prices are going up. What are the farmers going to do that have cattle and livestock that they depend upon the corn crops and soybean and et cetera, et cetera? There's a drought going on. There is wars and rumors of wars. There's sword, there's famine, noisome beast. What comes as a result of drought is the noisome beast, the locust, the insects. They eat up what's left. They come, they destroy. The pestilence, all kinds of diseases and cancers and whooping cough and things coming back that they thought that we had got victory over in years go by. When these four things begin to manifest themselves together, then we know the end is very near for a nation. Now, I want to say just a little bit. I know that's probably not going to pick you up very much to know what the Bible says about these things. And it seems like there's no hope, but there is actually hope. Even here in Ezekiel chapter number 14, for example, I'll read verse 16. Though these three men were in it, in the nation that was under the judgment of God. These three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job. Though these three men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters. They only shall be delivered, but the land shall be desolate. Noah, Daniel, and Job would not be classified today as your wishy-washy, liberal, contemporary, anything-goes type of Christianity. These three men stood out as being heroes of the faith. They stood apart uniquely, Noah, Daniel, and Job, as being a part of this world. God said they would spare themselves by their righteousness. These men walked with God, believed in God. They had a walk that was different from the world. So there's hope for them as individuals. Now, this past summer, I've basically just preached two messages. On Sunday mornings, I've been preaching on revival out of Exodus chapter number 33. And on Wednesday nights, I've been preaching out of Isaiah chapter 9, verse 10, on the judgment of God. Now, I've told the folks at church, these are not contradictory messages. I've been preaching on revival concerning the church and judgment concerning the nation. Now, America needs the church. She needs the true church for her survival. The church, the true church, redeemed, blood-bought children of God, the true church does not need America for her survival. The church was before America, and the church of the Lord Jesus Christ will be after America. The head of the church is the Lord Jesus Christ, not the president, not Congress. Praise God for that. What a mess we'd be in then. The blessings of God are not traded upon the stock exchange. If you'd like to be involved in the work of God, there's only help wanted. There's no such thing as unemployment in the work of God. There's plenty to do. There's good investments to be made, but it's not in the stock market. It's in the work of God. Missions, God's work. God has a great savings plan. Jesus said, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. So he has a great savings plan. There's in hope. It's not in the world. It's not in the things of the world. But there is hope in the things of God. I seen a sign on the way over here that said, better days ahead for Christians. Well, I hope you're ready. I hope you're saved by the grace of God. We're going to stop right there. Noah's going to give you the contact information. We'd love to hear from you.
This has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wynn Greer, the Mount Lebanon Church in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.